best of stews in Dublin, Barch, the first na Gaeilge. Welcome to Myth Folklore, a podcast about words, Irish, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I am Dara O'Shea.
I'm Padraig O'Cravonic.
And I'm Geraldine McAvoy.
And we hope you are all very warm and cozy this wonderful winter evening, morning.
It's cold, whatever time of the fucking day it is.
You can count on it that it's cold. I was only talking to my other half, who, again, lives in Finland, about it. And I was like, yeah, it's really cold here today. And he was like, it's cold here too. And I was like, yeah, but it's not cold inside your houses, is it? And he was like, no. No.
It feels colder here. It just feels colder.
It's like the wetness.
It's a wetty cold.
Yeah, exactly. It goes into your bones. Yeah. Whereas it's a dry cold over there, minus 40 is like nothing. Whereas here, if it's 5 degrees, I'm like,
you're rolling around in your scanties in the snow, jumping into the sauna.
Jumping into the sauna and then into the snow like a mad Egypt. There'd be no snow here. You'd just be wet and cold.
Muck.
Rotten.
Muck. Dirt. Just a dirt. Just out of the sauna into the dirt.
Sure, when you have snow, you're grand. It's that thing about it. It's the cold that gets into you. It's the cold that knows you well. It knows how to make you. It knows how to take your heat from you.
It's a cold that's like that ant you don't get on with. You know, she just niggles at you.
She comes in this condensation on the inside of the windows. That's where she is. Yeah, she comes and it just freezes over.
I tell you, that's reminded of the Irish MP from the old days, John Philpot Curran, who was the father of Sarah Curran. He was giving out about one of his political rivals once, and he said, on the day when they were selling opinions, my good friend bought many poor ones for cheap instead of a few fine ones. And this is like the kind of the annoying aunt that you know well has lots of bad opinions.
I couldn't make that connection.
I was wondering
for a
where
while.
The segue was going. We talked about John Philpot Curran at Halloween. We did. We talked about him.
We mentioned his family, his extended family.
He did, yeah. And his the ghosts of Rathfarnham.
Yeah, spooky content.
Spooky content's always a winner.
And you know, now that we are into winter, we are now deep into winter. Our spooky friends haven't gone away completely.
No. Sure. Now we jam Christmas trees up their arses now at this stage. I think we've done a very disrespectful thing to the fairies.
We have done, yeah.
Putting them on the top of trees. They've gone cute.
Time for that at all.
Nadini Maha,
yeah, the good people. Which, by the way, I don't think anybody really realises how ironic that term was, because Ma ni Roisid, the good people were never good, like the little people, the other worlders, they were not they were not nice people. Should they be out there stealing babies?
Yeah, changelings. Oh man! So when I was in college, we had to do like a module. It was really interesting on Baelish, which is like oral tradition stories, and they're like there's like three types of stories. It's like, I don't know, you stepped in the fairy fort and then badness came, or you had to leave Ireland and never return, standard. And then one or two, but Na Fianna, it can only be one of those three stories. So like fit your format around that. But we had to do these stories about like the changelings. And that is like, nothing would chill me to my bones more than stories of the changelings, because they're so fucking terrifying. The fairies come and they take your baby and they replace it, like body snatchers, but creepier. Look, no time for that. Terrifying.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yep.
Like, there's one story about Biddy Early when she was young, the Witch
Biddy
of Clare.
Biddy Early, But
when she was young, she was babysitting for neighbours, and it turns out that the child was a Shifra, or a changeling, which is, unfortunately, it's a beautiful name.
It's a lovely name.
It's an absolutely lovely
one
name.
Of the fairies.
Shifra, what a good name. No, well,
stay away!
Which particular one of the fairies, you know. But so the child was a Shifra, and so the child was lying there like cuckoo, gaga, making baby noises and crying and everything. And then the parents left, and they left young Bid to look after the child. Next thing, the child sits up. Oh yeah. Throws down that old fiddle there, will you? So she throws down the fiddle off the shelf, and the child belts away and starts playing the fairy music. And
yeah, it was actually Luke Kelly which had just taken on the spirit of the baby.
Ronnie Drew here. How are you? I'm a changeling. Yeah, how are you getting on there?
It's the carbon monoxide canary.
I'd like to sing
Barney McCanary.
I find that ad offensive. I find it deeply offensive to people from Dublin. I really, really do. Like, yeah, just.
I hate that bird, and I hate your one who says, I didn't know Oral-B made a toothpaste. They can both fuck off. The bird and that woman can fuck off.
Sorry, what did you think Oral-B did?
Listen!
Look, we know she works in HR.
Why does she work in HR?
Because she's
just a pain in the hole.
She has a real HR vibe. But how do you keep your mouth healthy? How about brushing your fucking teeth every once in a while, you wep?
There is someone in HR in Derek's area of work that we hope does not listen to
emails,
this podcast.
Just flagging them. Anyway,
I learned a tip, by the way. This is going out to all the listeners out there. Whenever anyone offers you a chewing gum or a mint or anything, so always take it. Always take it whether you want it or not, because it could be a very subtle, a very kind way of saying your mouth smells like arse. So if somebody says, do you want a polo? You go, yes, I fucking do.
Oh, that's
yes,
good. Because normally it's, can I have a chewing gum? And you're like, oh, I don't have any left. Like, if they're offering it to you, actually, that's true. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So even now, there might be nothing. Your breath might smell like roses. You might be the sweetest smelling person in the world. But if somebody says, do you want a spearmint polo? You go, yeah, give me two. Yeah. How many do I need? Sorry, but yes, the fairies. We hang fairy lights now and we listen to J.M. Barrie style stories of how good the fairies were and how they were little, tiny, little, lovely little people.
Cutesy, like slightly mischievous, but in an adorable way. Like, oh, aren't they sweet? Let's clap. They'll come back to life. Very
but
cute.
But they were pure bastards.
One of them used to set the Hill of Tara on fire every year.
Yeah, until Phil McHugh sorted his shit out.
Gave him a good kick in the good kick in the Leroy G. Yeah.
But I just want to issue a caution here to people. Like, unless you're Phil McHugh, don't fuck with the fairies. If there's a fairy fort, don't go into it. Like, I'm not into, like, I don't believe really in superstitions. I'll put new shoes on the table, no bother. But fairies, I don't fuck with fairies. If somebody tells me that's a fairy fort, I'm not going near it. If there's like a perfect ring of green, very green grass in the middle of like otherwise not so green grass, I'm not touching that. It's probably just where a dog pissed in it. But whatever, I'm not going near it because I don't want the fairies coming after me.
So very good friend of mine, Sinead Mercier, who is a researcher and a climate expert. She's absolutely brilliant. She's a member of the Ecofeminist Collective. She did a podcast once talking about how, you know, we mock the likes of the Healy Rays for standing up in the National Parliament and talking about fairy forts and how roads have to be diverted around it. But she touched on how it is actually incredibly important because these fairy forts, whether we know it or not, are a part of our natural and or built heritage. And the fact that we've always avoided them, farmers didn't plough through fairy rings, they didn't cut down fairy groves. I mean, we cut down all the fucking trees. Like, Ireland used to be covered in trees, and 100 years ago we had 2% coverage of trees. Like, it's back up to 11% now, still nowhere near good enough, nowhere near the European average. But there were little stands of trees in the middle of fields that we didn't cut down.
Yeah.
And it's the fact of the matter is that they formed part of our built or our natural heritage. And we just didn't know how to describe it, so we called them fairy forts and we called them fairy rings. And we managed to preserve amazing treasures. Like, you know, if we weren't naturally suspicious of the, you know, the good people and what we felt that they had built, we probably would have demolished Newgrange in the 1700s to build a fucking big house for a Protestant.
Speaking of those lads, you know, the good people, the Dean and Wall.
Oh, right.
Yes.
The Protestants are good as well, like,
When you're talking...
I quite like soup.
Ireland was covered in... When Ireland was covered...
You heard it here first. Father Craig likes soup.
I also keep my cupboard in the toaster? No, that's not right. I keep my toaster in the cupboard.
We do that. We keep the cover. We keep the toaster in the press.
Oh, my God.
And I'll tell you, my wife, who's from North Antrim, and like she basically got wind that her friends, you know, from across the road were doing this. And I was saying, but like, you know, we're not of that denomination. We don't do this. She's, well, I'm no worse than them. So,
there you are now.
There you are now.
That's you tilt now.
I guess, yeah, she didn't want people coming over and laughing at the toaster being out on the work surface, you know?
Yeah, we found out that my aunt, my mom's twin, keeps her toaster in the cupboard and we disowned her. I hope she's having a nice life, but I wouldn't know.
that's that aunt that you don't quite get on with. I was niggling at you by putting the toaster in the press. Like, yeah.
But when we talked about Ireland being covered in trees, one of the groups who started whacking down those trees were the British Army or the British Navy, who wanted oak to build warships with. And they nicked our trees and used the trees to make boats to attack other countries and, you know, be at it. And, you know, it's a double slap.
Yeah. And like, then I wonder, did the fairies come get them, or were they just interested in getting the Irish people? I don't know. Is there any story?
Well, the thing is, I mean, like, the fairies mightn't be able to tell the difference between an English person and an Irish person too easy.
Yeah. Ah, they would though. They would know.
They'd be in on that, I feel like. But like, I adore stories of fairies nowadays that are like, I think that like you see children dressing up as them for like, they're very popular in the little girl genre. Like fairies are like super popular. You have Tinkerbell and I don't know the names of other fairies. It's always funny to me because they're so the opposite of that. So another like common part of Irish culture that has sort of dissipated into like popular culture is banshees, which is literally woman fairy, banshee, which is female fairy. And like collectively, she's no crack. Like you hear the banshee, like you're done for. Bye. Like girl, bye. That's it. End of. I don't know if you can thwart it. There are probably some sort of, if you just run around a clothesline a couple of times, maybe the banshee won't come. But I just love that there's just this association with fairies being positive and like fairy doors, which are like, by all accounts, friggin' adorable. Like, I love those fairy doors.
Hell, like, yeah.
But like, I feel like I wish there was a different word for those types of fairies. And then the bad bastards that we have. Like,
but you see, this is why you have to take the good with the bad. They're all the same ilk. They're all the people who lost out many thousands of years ago in the battles of Moytura and had to go to the other world. They had to go underground. We get the top half. Yeah. They get the underneath and sometimes they come up and fuck with us.
Sometimes
they come up and they're nice now. Sometimes they're sound.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to be turning your back too much on them, I'd say, same time.
Mm-mm. Not ever. No. Not once. No way. No way.
That's how those folks stories go. Like, oh, I met a leprechaun and he gave me gold and then we were great buddies. JK, the gold was fake and he stole your shoes. Like, that's how it goes.
No fucking shoes. That's what you got. That's what you end up with. Yeah, no shoes.
Exactly. Don't trust them. Like,
would it be fair to say now that the word fairy is an ill fit for the Irish word she or see?
Yeah.
Because like, I'm looking now and one of the word fairy itself in English, and it seems to have come through French and Latin originally from the word for the fates, and it's like the fates being, you know, and at one point, yes, the fates, we think of that the Weird Sisters and Macbeth were technically fair, would we be a closer fit to the fairies in Irish tradition, but at some point those words diverged.
Yeah, so there is an old English word, the fae,
which
can be used to refer to the fairy folk, and also, you know, in parts of rural England, they're known as the good folk as well. You know, not Nadine Maha, but the good folk. And the word she, Nishi, Lucht Nishi, would be much closer to fae than it is to fairy. And we do end up with that. But I mean, like, fairy is just so, I mean, it's so gentle and lovely. And there's a reason it was used as a disparaging term towards gay men, in that it was about being like sort of effete and camp and cute and pretty. And like, I mean, banshees are none of the above.
Yeah, no, none of those things. I wonder why the association has split like that. Maybe it's because they seem to be small and cute. But like, for a very long time in Ireland, like up until a grandmother of somebody I used to know would say that the ESB killed the fairies in Ireland. So it was only when the electricity came that you were like, that light off in the distance, I know what that is. It's the Murphys. They've got the telly on. But before that, that light in the distance, that's fairies.
Just magic.
Yeah, that's fairies. The fairies. And that's no crack. Like, avert your gaze and hide. Like,
Don't look at it. Don't look at it.
And if you looked at it, it's probably your own fault. Like, whatever came to you, you had it coming. You looked at the fairy light. Fucking eat it.
Why'd you look at the fairy light?
Exactly. Yeah.
Some of this stuff is a lot more interesting when you don't explain it. Like, will-o'-the-wisps. And it's all like, you know, no. It's just, it's just gas is escaping from the bog.
Go away out of that. Stop.
Go on.
Tinnena Madhurua. The foxfire.
Tinnena Madhurua.
That's much better. And similarly,
is that the Irish of the Will o' the Wisp?
It's one of the Irish ones of Will o' the Wisp.
That's amazing.
That's nice. I like that.
Tinnena Madhurua.
But like, I feel like still, if I was on a bog like late at night and it was like, you know, when the bogs get like when they're foggy, like it's fucking terrifying. Like there's no, like I know in my heart that there's nothing spooky on that bog. But if I'm passing by a bog late at night, as I used to when I used to drive home to work, I used to drive on a road in the middle of a bog. And it used to be so foggy on either side and used to creep the shit out of me. And in my head, I'm a rational being and I'm like, it's nothing. It's fine. It's just a bog. But if I saw flames, I'd be like, oh shit. Like driving like a bat out of hell trying to get home. Like, even though in my head, I'd be like, oh, it's just gas. Like, fuck that. It's the fairies. Run away. Like,
I'm the most terrifying thing about bogs for me is the thought of having to foot turf on a hot day in August. So I'm all right with that. Like, I'll take the fog. I'll take the fairies, you know.
I decided during the week that that's the signifier of whether or not you can apply the term bogger to yourself if you can foot turf unsupervised?
This, no, can't do it unsupervised.
Yeah, if you're if you can be trusted to do it unsupervised, then you're allowed to be bogger.
I had to be micromanaged. Yeah, I'm a proper Jackie when it comes to that.
This is something that Niall Horan, one of the most famous men from the Midlands in the world, brought to the world's attention, because for a lot... The expression bogger, and the idea, because for a long time this is a disparaging term for an Irish person just from outside Dublin, and as opposed to being specifically, but then the idea now that there's a bit of pride, there's a bit of self-identity, you know, saying, no, not everyone gets to call themselves a bogger. If you're from like one of the medium-sized towns, if you're from like, you know, one of the medium-sized towns in Ireland, maybe you don't get to call yourself
bogger. Wouldn't, because Niall Horan is from, he says he's from Mullingar. I'd like to know exactly where, because Mullingar is a town.
I think he's from outside Mullingar.
He said it with a bogger accent, like
that's the post office that they get their post
through. Exactly. So my address would be like wherever, Portlaoise. So like, it's the nearest town.
You're not Portlaoise. You can't even see Portlaoise on the horizon.
No, sometimes
miles and miles of bog between you and Portlaoise.
I live on a road between two small villages. Like that's the element of bogger that I am. So I'm allowing that. But like, if you're
pure bog.
Yeah. So I don't want anyone to culturally appropriate that. But Niall Horan, I feel like he can probably have that shit. But if he was from Mullingar town, I feel like he wouldn't call himself a bogger. But people from Dublin sometimes don't understand that. They're like, oh, they're all boggers from there. I don't know why I said that in a bogger accent. but that's where the fairies exist. They exist in Dublin? Would they have been a thing in towns, like in cities?
I think that.
Less so among certain. Okay, if you take right, Dublin was a Viking town, so it would have had, and it would be incorrect to say Viking town, because Viking is like pirate, so it's like saying it's a pirate town. Yeah. But it was founded by Vikings, so it was a Danish and then a Norse town for a long time, and then it became an English town.
Yeah.
But there were always Irish people, there were always Gaelic Irish natives in and out, because, you know, if you send over an army, or you send over a load of pirates, or you send over a load of tradespeople or whatever, you still need people to come in and sell stuff to you. They still need to sell you cattle and sheep and all that, so it's always been a trading hub. So the story's always spread, and there's always been fairy stories and folklore and to a certain extent ghost stories intrinsically linked with Dublin. And there've always been pishogi about Dublin as well, and things you don't do, like, you know. So even in Dublin, the act of cutting down a hawthorn tree would have been bad cess, bad luck, you know, even in the city. Likewise, a ring of trees, a ring of mushrooms, any kind of thing like that, you don't break up a fairy ring. And that's always been part of it, even in the city. It's obviously a lot stronger in areas that didn't have that foreign influence during their foundation, you know. So the West in particular, and in the South, there are actually, one of the key things is we were talking about Menashe, the Banshee. There are different names for the Banshee in different parts of the country, like, you know, in the South, she's the Ba, the B-A-D-H, like, you know, the Ba or the Bow, and, you know, in other parts of the Banshee, and individual Menashe can have different names. Apparently there's a Banshee for every Gaelic clan.
Yes.
So there's just one following them around.
Well, yeah, but you only get a Banshee. You only get a Banshee if your surname has an O or a Mock.
That's me done.
If you hear the screams, you're done.
Can I apply for that job? Like, I feel like I'd enjoy that.
Would you?
Like, just going around the bog screaming at people. Yeah. Freaking people out. Like.
You're dead, motherfucker!
Yes, the Banshee's howl.
The Banshee's howl. Howl. It's supposed to be a screech, but unfortunately I can only go as high as a howl.
So you said there, obviously, that the plural of Banshee is Menashe.
It would be, yeah.
And we don't hear so much about the Farshe or the Fairshe.
Would they be the same? They're not screaming at people, killing them off, are they?
So in typical patriarchal terms...
I'm going to hate this.
Yeah. We got to go into a bit of gender role theory here, that like the Menashe, the women of the Shi, were defined by their role just as the men were. Banshee, woman of the Shi, Ban meaning the older woman. She was the mature woman of the Shi, and she would be the keener. She would be the one who turns up at the Gaelic family's house when somebody was about to die, when they were on their deathbed, and she'd keen and she'd let them know. Then there was the Lanon Shi, And this is actually, this phenomenon has transferred into other cultures as well. But the Lianxi is the beautiful young woman who would seduce a mortal man and take him away to the other world. And he'd go with her to the other world and he'd come back and realize, oh, everything's changed. Oh, I went away for the ride in 1701 and I came back and it's 1850. It's like, so oh, no.
Niamh an Oisin,
yeah. It's also, but I mean, it's gone on to things like Rip Van Winkle, who went to sleep in the Catskill Mountains of Upskirt. You know, all of these are based on the same thing. And even in modern literature, like if you read The Dresden Files, which is a series of books I'm absolutely bet into by Jim Butcher, the Lianxi plays a huge role in that. She's literally the hero's fairy godmother, but she's a seductive fairy. That's her job. Lianon meaning couple.
Yeah.
So she's there. Whereas the fair would be defined by the roles they played within the society. So the leprechaun, the fairy shoemaker, you know, there's the obviously they would have had kings, lords Ushlishi and things like that, which again, there are corollaries. There's the Pooka, which we've spoken about as well on the floor, is very closely correlated to Puck, the wild impish fairy of English literature, English folklore. So, you know, yeah, unfortunately, it's very gendered and it's very patriarchal. But yeah, there are.
As opposed to a Taifsha, I know Taifsha is fairly...
Taifsha's ghost.
Yeah. But Taifshas aren't as hung up on gender roles.
This week's episode of Mother Folklore is sponsored by Fóras na Gaeilge, and we'd love to tell you more about them and the work they do.
Fóras na Gaeilge promotes both Irish language and traditional arts, as well as Irish language learning and culture. This includes the arts sector, festivals, theatre, training workshops, publications and cultural events.
Their work is done on an all-island and international basis by adopting and implementing funding schemes.
Fóras na Gaeilge provides various supports in the arts sector, including the festivals and drama company schemes. The Colm Kill Grant scheme aims to foster interaction and cooperation between speakers of Irish and speakers of Scots Gaelic, and to strengthen the two language communities.
For more Irish language activities and resources, check out the newly redesigned Gaeilge.ie that just relaunched this week.
Fóras na Gaeilge, celebrating 20 years. Issi ar Teanga Haoine. It's our language.
We kind of have our own, unfortunately, again, patriarchy at it. Again, never not at it. So people will be very familiar with witch burnings in Salem and witch trials and assumptions that women were witches. And we kind of had our own version of that here. So probably the most famous one is Bridget Cleary, a woman who died in 1895, I think, in Tipperary, because her husband was like fairy.
Yeah.
Definite fairy burner. Effectively, that was it.
You've been switched.
Yeah, because you're a bitch now. maybe it's because she's married to someone.
Ever since you found out I wrote your sister, but really you turned into a witch.
And people were like, so they effectively put her not on. They assumed she got sick, and then they were like, oh, that cough she has there doesn't sound like Bridget. Must be the fairies have switched her. And then they sort of, awful things happened to her. She was really kind of tortured before she died, and then was either burned before she died, so died by burning, or burned thereafter. They killed her, and then there was a priest involved, and they were like, lads, like they were put on trial for it, and they were like, their defense was, she's a fairy. People were like, what?
The weirdest thing about that whole story was apparently eyewitness accounts are that Michael Cleary, her husband, after he had arranged for his wife to be murdered, put on his Sunday best and went up every single night to wait outside the fairy fort for his real wife to come back.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's dark.
Mad bastard.
Yeah.
Mm. I would watch the shit out of a Netflix, like 3-part series on that. Like,
oh man, you gotta go eight parts of this.
Yeah, I'd love that. Again, Netflix, like, make some of these Irish shit, like, they're class.
Our lore is unbelievable. The folklore is incredible. Yeah. Like, and there have been a few attempts to try and capture it on TV or in video games or in books and the likes, and not all of them are good.
Yeah.
Not all of them are good at all. Has anybody read American Gods? By Neil Gaiman.
Years ago, yes.
It's one of the best books I've ever read. It's absolutely brilliant. And one of the characters in it is Sivna, Mad Sweeney, from Willahivna, the king who goes mad. But then they did a television version of American Gods. And of course, he's a leprechaun.
Oh, man.
And it's like you took this guy who was this mad king who was obsessed with gold and it drove him insane and now he can fly. And they turned him into a guy with a red beard wearing a green jacket going, ha ha, don't take me lucky charms.
It's bad.
It is bad.
Particularly like, as.
But I mean, the original book, and if anybody. Yeah, guys, you listen to podcasts out there. You may listen to audiobooks. There is an audiobook version of American Gods, which is a full cast recording. And, you know, it's actually so good. I'm going to re-download it and listen to it again. I've listened to it twice already and I will listen to it again. It's so good.
Yeah, but they like you said, our lore is so damn good. And it would be so good to see that dramatized in like a really like effective way, like rather than just sort of, you know, very sort of passing reference to fairies in Ireland and Sioga and banshees in like the chilling adventures of Sabrina. I don't watch that because I'm a wimp and I'd be too scared.
Also, I mean, I don't feel the need to watch remakes of stuff that was perfected when I was young.
I mean, it was perfect. It was great. I don't need anything.
The new version doesn't have a smart mouth cat in it.
It doesn't have a robotic smart mouth cat.
It doesn't even have Beth Broderick as the hot aunt.
Yeah. Hey, so, I mean, like, they were both hot aunts.
I know, but one was marginally hotter.
I loved both of them.
This was the thing that they were saying. It was kind of like it was the 90s Gilligan's Island, and they had a different, slightly different hot women for different kinds of, you know, itches, scratch, and the way, yeah, back in the days. But.
What?
I love the way you
just realized halfway through.
I need to segue the fuck out of this one.
No, there is. I remember at the time because like it was on. This is on daytime. We were in college and people were talking about that. I was talking to some female friends who were giving out about it while they said they never missed it, but they thought it was very sexist. And I was like, "Are you sure?" And then they explained to me why, and I said, "Yeah." So,
because all of the women were just inseparably
it's fan
blonde?
Service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get you now. Yeah. All the women were just there to appeal to a different kind of. Male viewer,
slightly different shades of blonde. Like I don't
But her best mate was always either a brunette or a redhead.
Yeah, she did have interchangeable best mate. I mean, I feel like
and her rival Libby was a brunette.
She was or redheaded Libby.
Libby was a brunette.
Yeah. But again, that's just
because this is back on telly now. It's on MTV in the morning.
Is it
or VH1? One of the ones that used to show music.
Yeah.
Now shows Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Great. Love Harvey. Love him.
Harvey was just so adorably done.
So such a big lovable idiot. Yeah.
The kind that you wanted to bring home to your mommy.
Yeah,
you know,
like. He's just a big, like ball of dough. Like, he's just so lovely.
and like, you bring him home and your mommy would be like, oh, bless Garradine, he's lovely, like, oh, but God. He's thick as pig shit. And then you go on, oh no, he have frontage. Oh, grand. Oh, sure, that's
and
fine.
We're back to boggers.
So
Harvey Kinkle, he had frontage.
What a man. What happens? Frontage, all right.
What happens when a bachelor has frontage but also a ferry fort?
That's not
land?
Frontage. You can't build on the ferry fort. You might as well like have a load of cows, but they're all dead. Like that. And like not in a beef processing plant. Like it's no good for
it's
you.
It's just not doable. Like.
No,
it's just not doable.
But what if the ferry fort is a little bit back from the road frontage? You think could you build a crescent shaped? No,
I don't think you're allowed to get planning permission in County Leash if it's near a ferry fort. They're like, nope. Denied. Like, no, we're not building through that.
Do they say that? Denied.
You gotta wait 3 years first and then they say denied.
Oh, does Leash have one of those kind of have those residency rules? You know, your mammy has to be from the parish and you have to, you know, add a Wicklow is mad for that.
I think it is. You do have to be, because my brother recently built a house. Like, I'm a millennial. I'm not building a fucking house anytime soon. But like, my brother recently built a house and like all of the people. So when I was a child, there was only a few houses on the road. But now all of the children of those families have built houses on the road. But like there's no blow-in on the road. Ferry fort and blow in, you're not allowed to build on my road.
So a blow in definitely can't build near a ferry fort.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though they're
not
the most likely to want to build near a ferry fort.
Yeah, well, on your head be it. Yeah. You know?
They wouldn't have the respect.
This is it. Townies coming in building on ferry forts.
Listen, I just want a summer home. I want to spend 2 weeks a year in Leash.
I know. Come on.
No one wants that.
2 weeks a year.
Just want to let your picnic is on so I can have some place to stay.
With the greatest respect in the world to Leash, which has given us such luminaries as Garradine McAvoy and no one else I can think of off the top of my head.
Richie Kavanagh's almost from Leash.
He's in Carlow.
He's nearly from Leash and he's there all the time.
When you're claiming people from just the other side of the border, that's like, I mean, I would never claim someone from Leash.
No, sorry.
Even though
fuck
it's
this.
Really Dublin.
No,
there.
Rob Sheehan. Do you know that righty fella who?
Is
oh
he from
yeah,
Port Leash. Yeah, and like he wears weird shit all the time, and I see him like dressing like very avant-garde, and I'm like, who raised you? Where do you think? Like, I can appreciate the fashion, but also, come on, you're from
this
Port
is
Leash.
What,
like.
This we can't really have culty sex symbols, like, you know, because every time they dress sexy, you sort of go like, what are you at?
That's it. I don't understand. When I lived in America, when I moved there, One Direction were just kicking off. And like Niall Horan was huge because he was Irish and he was blonde. He was the one who looked slightly different from the rest of them. And like, except for the one who's a different race. And then I just couldn't get my head around it because I can appreciate, like, objectively, he is a good looking person, but also... He's from Mullingar. Like, it may have been like the reality is that I may have shifted him in the Harriers teenage disco in Tullamore. Like, who knows? Because we would have all frequented the same place.
I think it's a yes.
That sounds like a yes.
I mean, Garage Jean's shift at Niall Horan.
Probably.
Are you older than Niall Horan?
I'm around the same age as Niall Horan. He's younger than me, but like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I never asked people's date of birth when we were shifting at the teenage disco. And, you know.
You should, really. You should.
Teenage disco though.
Hey, listen, right? So like, I don't know, what's the minimum age for getting into a teenage disco?
Oh, 17, but if you were 17, you were weird. Like,
yeah,
stop.
Yeah, so there's 15-year-olds in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, a 17-year-old kissing a 15-year-old is like the equivalent of a 40-year-old kissing a 20-year-old in real terms.
Yeah.
Like, so it's pretty...
In adult years, yeah.
In adult years, yeah.
Teenagers, it's pretty, like dog years.
It's sort of like this sort of like, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's a lot wrong
with it.
I'm going
to Google the age now just in case it's weird and we might need to cut that out.
Yeah.
It's the
maybe you kissed a Shifra that was Niall Shore.
I didn't kiss nobody. I shifted people. I
shifted,
you know.
Sorry.
1993. Okay, he's a year older than me, or a year younger than me. So that's okay.
That's fine.
Shifted him in the Harriers.
So you're inside the half your age plus seven.
Yeah, actually, his birthday is in September and mine's in July. So it still wouldn't have been weird. Like,
you know, Niall, if you listen to this show,
we'd
love to have you on.
Hear
that your side of the story.
Yeah. Well, what was the shift like? Max out of 10?
Too much tongue? Not enough tongue?
I'm uncomfortable now.
You made this fairy bed. You have to lie in this fairy bed.
So when we talk about something that is funny, again, talking about boggers and fairies, is the different perception in certain Irish people abroad, one of whom is a man from Bray, a long-haired, scruffy fella from Bray, is Hosier, and is seen as such. But then when you hear Americans talk, he's this the singing elf bard who's drifted in from a forest.
I'm pretty sure Hosier's a Shifra. Definitely.
Mm. Hosier is nothing but my husband. That's what he
is. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I mean, look, Hosier's great. Like, Andrew Hosier Byrne, to give him his full name. Hosier, to give him his fairy name. He's from the other world. He's from the other world. There's loads of... Look at all these ridiculously talented people. Look, right, we are a nation of potato people. Right?
Yeah,
we play long ball football. We play three-chord rock and roll. And to have... all of a sudden created these amazing talents like Saoirse Ronan and Hosier and Michael Fassbender. Okay, half German. So maybe the German half of them is not fairy. But like, genuinely, the people of the other world, they are rising up. They are creating these wonderful talents that are representing Ireland, like, to the foreign world. And basically trying to wrestle it back from Bono, who is not a fairy.
And I just, Hosier, he's so beautiful and so talented and so sound. Like, when people say, when they say not all men, they mean Hosier and Michael D. Higgins. That's it. Like, that's who also probably one of the fairy people. Like, that this would explain a lot. Like,
this is the thing. A lot of commentary in the international media about Michael D. Higgins is focused on his elf-like or hobbit-like qualities.
Yeah.
There was, I remember shortly after he became president, there was an article in The Guardian saying, oh, they've just elected a poet as a president over in Ireland. We're going to be sick of hearing about this, about how great they are with their liberal poet president. Well, I've read one of his poems, nor didn't think it was much cop at all. And I was like
sorry, was it The Guardian or was it the Walford Gazette from EastEnders? How's it going? Yeah, welcome to The Guardian, yeah.
That's how I want all my Guardian articles read.
The latest from Owen Jones on how Jeremy Corbyn is going to stop Brexit, innit?
I want Danny Dyer to write all of the Guardian articles.
I'd love that. Just Danny Dyer reading a back catalogue of Don Foster's articles on communism. Like, One of the things about seasonal means of production.
Where can you get good quinoa in Notting Hill?
I don't even know what he said.
Okay. But anyway, there's a bitter note of jealousy in some of the initial commentary about Michael D. Higgins when he shortly got elected in the British media.
Well, they don't get to elect their head of state.
Yeah, that must be painful. Yeah.
You know what I mean? An unelected German.
I mean, she's cute now, but like...
Oh, I don't know.
The next one coming along the line. Yeah. You know?
Listen, I mean, like, the problem with the royal family, I guess... In some ways, some people say it's one of the good things about the royal family is also one of the terrible, terrible things about the royal family is you get the entire family. And some people say there's always one person in a royal family you relate to. There's some people think, well, don't think much of the Queen, but, you know, I think I could go for a pint with Prince Philip. Or some people think, well,
we call those people racist.
Yes. Yeah. And some people think, well, Prince Philip's gaffes have been basically remarketed as hilarious candor. And no member of the royal family has ever criticized him for them. So we can be sure that they're, you know, fair enough. Much on board.
I for one am surprised that these white millionaires are also racist.
What? Like, problematic people? What? These white racists with a very sketchy background?
I was reading something really recently about like poor Queen Elizabeth now, because now she has to choose between, because the Daily Mail has been going full guns at Meghan Markle, how she's not a proper princess. And it's so racist. It's because she's black. It's so racially charged. And like, imagine the dilemma that Queen Elizabeth faces, that she has to now choose between the woman her grandson loves and has chosen to marry and build his life with and her beloved racism.
Yeah.
You know,
so difficult.
It's so difficult to choose. Like, it's just. Yeah. Oh.
And then I find myself, because you know what? I fucking love The Crown, that show. Oh man, it's so good. But also, I hate the monarchy.
I got home from work late one day, and my wife was watching Victoria.
Oh.
And she was like, "What are you watching, Victoria?" And I just went, "Famine Queen." And I went off to make a cup of tea or whatever, and I got back in, and she was in a huff. She goes like, "You put me in a bad mood." It is the famine queen. I was like, for fuck's sake.
I was in a train station in Milan a couple of years ago. I was waiting for Lasse to arrive in, and I got chatting to this American couple, and it was right before Meghan and Harry got married. And like, this lady was like so excited to talk to me because she assumed Brit. And she was like, "Oh, do you love Meghan and Harry?" And I was like, "Who?" And she was like, "Prince Harry?" And I was like, "Oh, the British fella." And she was like, "Yeah." And then she started talking to me about, I was like, no, I'm Irish, and I explained the difference. And then she was like, "Do you watch The Crown?" And I was like, "Yes, I love The Crown." And then like,
well, I mean, obviously I watch The Crown, obviously.
But then she started talking about this show, apparently. I think, and she was like, "Oh yeah, in that show, you know, I don't think I you know, the famine was happening, but I don't think she really wanted it to happen so much." And I was like, yes, in the dramatization, sure, the Queen Victoria was like, "Oh, poor old paddies," but I feel like that's not very accurate. And then I ranted at her about genocidal potato famines for a while.
Yeah, and
then
the repeal of the corn laws.
Yeah, and she was like, "I have to go," and then she left.
But no, sit down.
sit back down, Wilma, and listen.
Right, where was I? Disraeli. Right, okay.
There are way too many films, particularly in the past 10, 15 years, with kind of royal family members or aristocrats as protagonists, you know, showing kind of conflicts between Downton Abbey and the King's Speech and the Queen itself and the Crown, all these things. And it has contributed to a sense of British exceptionalism, which is fed into Brexit. They are as to blame for Brexit as South Park is for Trump.
Is South Park really to blame for
Trump? And the alt-right, yeah.
See, the thing about Brexit and the thing about Trump and the thing about the alt-right is it requires a perfect storm of everything.
Yeah.
It requires a capitalist class that is leeching money off the poorest and giving, like, 26 people in the world, 26 people have the same amount of money as the bottom half of the entire world. Like, 26 people. And apparently it's radical to say we should just and take the money. But you can't say that. That's fine. Okay.
By election,
it's PC gone mad. But it requires a perfect storm. You know, a couple of people have said it. Like Will Self, most prominently on the BBC, said it. Like, not everyone who voted for Brexit was a racist.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the racists and all of the anti-Semites and all of the Islamophobes voted for Brexit.
Yeah.
So you need that. You then need the genuine fears of people being stoked up by agitators. You need this British exceptionalism or American exceptionalism. You need this need for imperialism and dominance. You need to feel like you're losing your place in the world. And when all of that happens all together, you get Trump, you get Brexit, you get these pushbacks against what they see is essentially what we would see as common decency, but what they see is like sort of this liberal new world that I don't like. I'm not comfortable with it. Like, and also, you can point out how stupid it is. Like, you can point out how stupid it is. Like, oh, I voted for Brexit because there's too many brown faces down the NHS. I was going like, yeah, they're not coming from fucking France. Like, you know, they're not coming from the EU. Yeah,
they're still going to be there, mate. Like,
they're not coming from the EU.
Providing the services that you desperately need.
And there's also, in both of those particular elections, there's the other side fought a very bad campaign.
Yeah,
and that also kind of just... Yeah.
That's it. The perfect storm. Like, you don't get Trump. You do not get Trump if they run anyone but Hillary. And you just end up with loads of people legitimately sick of this idea that, you know, oh, it's her turn. She's entitled to be president. It's her turn. And like... Whatever, Hillary Clinton, fantastic statesman, well done. She was an amazing politician or whatever, or maybe she wasn't, whatever your opinion is. But this idea of this smug entitlement and then the Democrats proving that they had learned nothing immediately afterwards going like, well, we're going to tee up Michelle Obama. Like, and going like, listen, stop. Michelle Obama's amazing. Yeah, she's deadly, but stop.
Yeah.
Just stop it. Like, just stop it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is. Who knows?
Fairies, huh?
Fairies.
Fairies, yeah. How the fuck
That's
did we
get
here?
To do. No, that is the answer. Bring back Lou Ildonock.
Just a little bit of just like helpful fear of things that you don't know and things that you're not sure about. I think that's probably a good thing to have. Just be a little bit cautious about things that you're not sure about.
Don't be afraid of migrants. Be afraid of fairies.
Yeah. Sure.
Migrants are wonderful people. They're going to come over here because, as the poet Shire, Walian Shire was it said, you don't put your child in a boat unless the ocean is safer than the land. Don't be afraid of people who come over here to build a better life.
Yeah.
Be afraid of the fairies because they will fuck you up.
There's something really nice in that the fairies like, generally the stories are when bad shit happens to people because of the fairies, it's because they cross the fairies.
Yeah.
So like if you exist, there's some sort of analogy for the environment there. If you coexist like peacefully, you don't bother them, they don't bother you. You share the same spaces, but you share it respectfully. You don't encroach on their bit, they don't encroach on yours. And then everybody coexists beautifully. And then, so yeah, bring them back and we have a little bit more compassion for like other things bar our own selfish interests. Because if the fairies are hanging over your head, ready to take your baby and replace it with Lou Kelly playing a fiddle, you know.
Lou Kelly wasn't a fiddler, you know that.
I don't know. I'm not from Dublin. I'm a bogger. Unless it's Christy Moore, I don't fucking care. Are we going to end on that?
Christy Moore, probably a fairy. So talented. Unreal.
So talented.
It's funny.
Storyteller, bard.
What a man.
In regards to...
Sweats more than any human possibly could.
Yeah, he actually might be a fairy. Do you know that?
Yeah.
There is another Christy Moore out there who's singing all the... who's on the other side of the portal, singing all the songs that he can't sing anymore, all the rah, free these prisoners songs.
I feel like Christy would probably still sing
them.
He doesn't put them down on albums anymore. No.
A huge amount of Christy's back catalogue are songs by freeing people who are now free or defending people who actually probably shouldn't have been defended. You know...
I read Christy's autobiography once, and it's full of references to the Irish secret police and state agents lifting him and things like that. It's an absolutely brilliant
Christy
read.
Deserves a full
hates
episode.
Hates the guards, hates the government, really hates the GAA.
And really
hates the GAA.
And the army.
The GAA took, took a medal off him. He won an underage Kildare medal. They took it off him because they found out he played for Newbridge Rugby.
Oh,
the ban was still in place.
Yeah. Christy Moore, a comrade, what a man. A bogger as well, yes. So that's why I don't know. Lou Kelly could play the triangle or the fucking
the L triangle.
I wouldn't know.
Lou Kelly was a singer and a banjo player.
A banjo player, yeah. I used to live on the Luke, or just off the Lou Kelly Bridge, and there was a banjo on that. So that was. And then there's that big, terrifying, terrifying statue.
Ahead.
Like, I was stuck in traffic one morning going from Ballsbridge to Glasnevin, and like, it's just screaming at you. Ah! Like, It's a banshee. That's what it is. Like,
that's because fairy folk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luke Kelly.
Anyone with any bit of talent.
It's true.
And that hair has to, that's not.
Luke's hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way that, a human head can produce such something as glorious.
Also, have you seen that picture online of shirtless Luke Kelly in rehearsals?
No.
Have a look at it. It'll make you.
Thirst.
Yeah. Oh, God, thirst. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Give you the fairy thirst.
So fairy thirst.
Yeah.
Where is the picture of shirtless Luke Kelly? I found it. There we are.
Okay. So on that shirtless note, it's a slant from me. Stay away from the fairies.
It's a slant from me. Don't fuck with fairies.
Don't fuck with fairies.
And a slant from me. Don't fuck with the fairies.
And a big girl meal mug of to Forrest and Gelga for bringing this episode.
Probably leaving us after this fucking train wreck.
Hey, okay. Forrest and Gelga, don't fuck with the fairies. Just ni vin shit exprilish na shioga.
Okay. See you soon, Ben. Slán, slán wáil.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
If somebody is pissing you off in Dublin, I say, "Do you notify lamps?" And then they say, "Yeah." And I think I'll bollocks out them. Oh.